Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time.
Sacraments can be kind of a scary word for those who haven't grown up in church or aren't familiar with some of religious terminology. It can be scary for some of us that are here every week and are familiar with those things. So I want to simplify it just a little bit because I think that's what the church is supposed to do. Sacrament comes from the word sacred, which means holy and set apart. So sacraments are just holy moments in time set apart with the intention of accomplishing God's purpose. Now remember what God's purpose is: to set us free from all that holds us back from living into the fullness of life, to claim people, to forgive of all the times that we fall short or fail, to make us children of God. So we'll spend 2 weeks on baptism, 2 weeks on communion, and all of these weeks will also tie into the focus on the gift of one another. If you remember just a few weeks ago in I think the series on Ephesians, there was a quote that I gave from one of the commentaries that said, God gives us 5 gifts for the journey. Those gifts are the word, water, bread, wine, and one another. And we often talk about the word and the water. We talk about the bread and the wine, but we overlook often the gift that we are to one another along this journey. So we'll focus on that a little bit every week as we go through. Today, our focus is baptism, and baptism in relation to a congregation or in relation to one another. Hear now scripture from Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 42.
If you would, please turn your Bibles to the book of Acts. Today we'll read chapter 2, verses 37 through 42. In the Pew Bibles, you can find this in the New Testament on page 112.
Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers.
Now when they heard this, before we can really get into the meat of what today's passage talks about, we've got to back up a little bit and understand what it was that they had heard. Remember in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit had come and had descended upon all of the large crowd that was gathered there, and incredible things had happened there. Peter, who was one of the disciples, and you remember Peter is the one who had previously denied Jesus 3 times. He was the one who lacked the courage to stand up for what he believed in, now stands up and boldly proclaims the gospel to this huge crowd that's gathered. What does he tell them? Well, he tells them, "That man that you just crucified on the cross, that was the long-awaited Messiah. That was God in human form that came to pay the price for all of your sins, and you murdered him on a cross. But here's the thing. Even death on a cross could not keep God down. On the third day, he was risen. We've seen him. We talked with that man, Jesus Christ. He has been resurrected. He is risen from the grave, just as he told us he would. And that message that Jesus is who he says he was, is not just to this generation, but it's for all generations. You know, that was a hard message for those people to hear, that what they had just done was such a horrific thing. And yet, Scripture tells us that their response was that they were cut to the heart. It wasn't Peter's passionate conviction that changed them. It wasn't the words in his message that changed them. It was the conviction of the Holy Spirit that had come as promised, the same power that enabled Peter to proclaim that good news, tugged on the heartstrings of those who listened, and Peter's message is received. Now, you have to put yourself in the place of those people who heard that message and know, again, that that message is for you as well. No, we didn't put Jesus on the cross necessarily. We didn't watch him as he hung there. But any time that we reject anything that it is that God would want us to do in our lives, we offer that same rejection. I loved what the video said, that repentance is when we change our mind about doing things our way and step into doing things God's way. And man, I don't know about you, but for me, that happens multiple times throughout the course of the day, where I'm reminded that my way doesn't always line up with God's way. And their response was, well, what do we do? What do we do now that we've done this horrific thing? And Peter's answer creates one of the greatest theological controversies of all times. And yet I want to remind you that to those who heard it that day, it was the best news ever. It still is the best news ever. It's not too late. It is never too late to change your mind about Jesus. Grace, it's a free gift, unmerited, undeserved, and all you have to do is receive it, believe it, accept it. That's our part. That we change our mind about doing things our way and accept that there is a God of creation that has a better way of doing things. The work was accomplished by God already through Jesus Christ. Our part is just accepting that work that was done. But Peter goes on to say, and be baptized, every one of you. So a lot of people take those words literally, as there are two parts to salvation. Yes, we have to believe and receive, and then we have to follow through with believers' baptism. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be baptized, and you'll hear that as I go on, but that those two are necessary for salvation, I would argue against. You know, my grandma, who was a sound and solid Christian, belonged to a denomination who I learned through sitting with her in church, believed that until you went into those waters, you were damned to hell. Didn't matter. If you had attended a revival and you had accepted Jesus Christ, if you had walked down and you professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that was part one. But there was a part two. And until part two happened, until you were in the baptismal waters and out, you were not saved. I remember hearing that message even as a child and thinking, wow, that's kind of scary. And God doesn't have a lot of reasoning to, I mean, doesn't God know situations and circumstances vary and change? I learned another point in my faith walk, that there are churches who only accept baptism if it happens in their denomination, and even other churches who only accept baptism if it happens in their building. There are those who believe in baby baptism, those that believe in sprinkling, others who say, no, that doesn't count. You have to be immersed. You have to go under the water, and you have to make the decision that you've accepted Jesus, and you have to follow through with that. Man, there are a lot of highs, whys, and hows, and whens, and wheres that create all kinds of controversy. So I want to take a deeper look into this passage and know exactly what was happening, exactly what was going on, because Peter is offering a new theology. Actually, it's not Peter offering a new theology. God has done something new, and Peter is explaining this new work to the people. Now, you may be surprised to know that the Jewish tradition practiced baptism. It's not something that was new to Christianity. Jews also practiced baptism, but baptism was for the most part practiced by outsiders who made the decision to step into the Jewish faith. And then they had to be baptized into that faith. Now, there were exceptions, and that's significant. I just want to point out that I love exceptions, and I think we need to be a people of exceptions. We need to be a church of exceptions. We don't follow things just because that's the way it's always done. That's the way I've always understood it. That's the way it's always been preached. Faith is a process. And as our minds are opened, as our hearts are changed, we have to have the courage to follow through with that conviction. And so even though, one other thing I wanted to point out, another exception, and this is just a little throw-in that I thought was, it stood out to me. If you remember in Jeremiah preached his message from inside the temple courts. Peter's message, however, is preached outside the temple courts. There are these beautiful little messages in Scripture that are just little things that, if you pick up on, have big implications and meanings. Do you see where Peter is? He has stepped outside the temple to proclaim this good news to all who will listen and receive. It's a minor little location with a major implication. And notice Peter's words. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. So you see what God's done with this work. He has eliminated this insider-outsider concept. He's placed all, everybody, on the same level. And Peter says it's necessary for every individual. I think that that's on purpose. The purpose is to take on the name of Jesus Christ. We gain this new identity in baptism. And I want to ask you, is it possible that it's an individual experience as to how that happens, when that happens, where that happens? We all have our story that connects to the God story. Why do we think it should all happen the same way? Can we not realize and recognize that the God of diversity may allow that same diversity in the way that we were baptized? You know, Friday, I had the honor of officiating my brother-in-law's memorial service, and my sister-in-law shared with me a story about Jim that I hadn't heard before. Her dad was the football coach, a longtime football coach at our small little high school there in Tonkawa. Coach Miner was extremely well-respected and known as a person who was a believer. He didn't actively attend the Baptist church, but we all knew that he was a member there, and we assumed the reason that he didn't actively attend was because of Friday night football and the Saturday and Sunday follow-up or the weekend follow-up. But we knew that he was a believer. He didn't make the decision to be baptized until he was in his mid-80s. I didn't know that. He was baptized in a service at the First Baptist Church that was attended by a lot of the football players and the people that he had impacted throughout generations. And Jim made the decision that he and Mary were going to be baptized in that service along with them. Now, both of them had been baptized previously, but they did it as an act of support
an encouragement and just a recognition that it was a really important event that they wanted to experience together as a family. Now, I said in the service, theologically, I can't find any evidence to support that that's necessary or even valid. And yet, can you imagine a more beautiful experience that the three of you go into those baptismal waters together? That's a treasure that Mary will have in her heart throughout the course of her life that nothing, even death, can rob from her. And I can't help but believe that that makes God smile. You know, we were scheduled to have a baptism next week with Brinley and Ariana. And Brinley made her confession of faith literally over a year ago during one of our jam sessions. And Ariana decided that she wanted to do the same. They wanted to follow through with believers' baptism. And then COVID happened, and there just was never a time where they felt that it was a safe thing to do for their families. We talked about maybe doing it outdoors somewhere where it could happen in nature. And then things seemed to work out to where numbers and trends were changing, and we thought that next week would be the perfect week for that. It actually happens to be Brinley's birthday. We hadn't planned that it was baptism scriptures, and Ashley and I were just convinced that this was the way that God was moving to work all of that through. And then trends changed. Numbers start to go up. And again, we have to question whether that's something that we can do safely and whether it's the right thing. And Ashley told me that she had a conversation with Brinley about, listen, it's not the act that saves you. Yes, that is holy and sacred and it's meaningful and it will happen at the time that God ordains. But you were saved the moment that you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, the moment that you spoke out loud, I want to claim the name of Jesus over my life. Now, will something special happen when she goes under the water? Absolutely. Can I explain that? Absolutely not. And I won't try. So many times we've tried to explain to people what to expect when they go under the water, and they go under and they come up and they think, the heavens didn't open. I don't really feel like a lot's changed. Did that really make a difference and did it really matter? Yes, it really made a difference and it really mattered. And can I explain why you don't feel it in your physical the way that you expected? No, I can't. But I will tell you with confidence that God's word work was accomplished in a way that our physical may not understand, but our spirit absorbs and understand. And at some part in the journey, all of that comes together. Baptism is a moment of time that is sacred and holy. And it means that in some way we fully received the greatest gift of all time. The focus should be on that some point in our journey, it needs to happen. We should honor and recognize that the God who created us in such magnificent diversity created holy and sacred moments to be experienced with that same kind of diversity. And there's more. Scripture says, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is even more controversial. When does that happen? How does that happen? What actually happens? You know, the Holy Spirit is the third person of God, God's Spirit that has been gifted to reside within us, teaching us, guiding us, enabling us to live into our calling, to live into the fullness of life as God intended. The Holy Spirit is that voice. It's contrary to the other voices in our head that tell us, you're not worth anything. This is the voice that says, oh, yes, you are. You are sealed with the promises of God. The Holy Spirit's voice is the one that fights against that one saying, you don't matter to God. You've never lived up to any expectations. The Holy Spirit's voice says, oh, yes, you are. You are God's own, worthy of even the most horrific death on the cross. The Holy Spirit's voice is the one that fights against that voice that says you have no purpose. There's no plan for you. And even if there was, you aren't so far from stepping into it, it will never happen. The Holy Spirit's voice says you were created for a purpose and you will live eternally
with God. And the promise is for you and your children and your children's children and to all who are far away and to everyone that the Lord calls as his own. Save yourself, Scripture says, from this corrupt generation. Man, I wonder if they needed to hear that as much as we need to hear that. You know, a lot of us spend our voices grumbling about the division and the hatred and the bitterness and why do we have to be a part of this? You don't. You've been saved from all of that. You are set apart. You were created to be holy and different with a different voice that speaks against all of those voices. The same voice that speaks into your head against the contradictions is the voice that you speak out into the world. You've been saved from that generation. And those who welcomed that good news were baptized. And there were 3,000 that day. And when I read that, my spirit said, wow, I want to see that. I want to see hundreds walking forward to accept the good news of the gospel and follow through with faithful baptism. And you know what I think the Spirit of God spoke into my heart? Well, that's your humanity. But you know my heart? I celebrate one just as much as those 3,000. Every single individual who makes that decision is celebrated by God and recognized with a grand celebration in heaven. God doesn't expect massive numbers. God expects each individual and celebrates each and every individual decision. And they devoted themselves. You know, devoted means that they have this steadfast, single-minded fidelity to a certain course of action. They were focused. They were dedicated to growing, to spending time with one another, to communion and prayer. All of those actions revolved and centered on Christ. I had to stop because I'm just always in awe. We had that coaching process that I was not in support of, where through Kathy Bryant, we worked together in unity to come up with our mission, which was that we would grow a Christ-centered, compassionate community connecting all to God's love. How many times has God reinforced, yes, that's the vision that I spoke into your hearts and mind, and yes, that's what I will enable you to fulfill if you follow in faithful obedience to the calling that I've set before you. We are all called, but we're called to our own story. We're called to connect our story to the story of God of all creation, and how that happens is in God's hand. Our job as community is to support and encourage and enable one another to live into the fullness of life that God has for each and every one of us. I'm going to follow this message with a call to discipleship. I want you to really pay attention to the song which has come to the altar. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to come forward and make that decision. We will do our best to walk you through the faithful follow through to that decision. If you don't currently belong to a church community where you can grow and fellowship and communion and pray, we invite you to ours. Again, we'll do our best to help you to remain Christ-centered throughout the course of life. And finally, challenge to each and every one of you. Challenge through a question. Are you devoted? Have you focused and dedicated your lives to being Christ-centered? During this time, prayerfully consider how the Spirit would move you and boldly and courageously follow through.